that we get a chance to honor you as graduates for your accomplishments. I'm sure that you've had some wonderful experiences and will have some memories in your high school and your college that will last a lifetime. But the journey down the road has just now started for you guys, because you're going to spend the rest of your life continuing to build, and it's important to know how to build for your life. These last 12 years for you seniors, and the past several years for you, Angela, are extremely important. Important. Because this is where you lay a foundation for your life. And even though this message today is about finishing well, it applies to everyone who is here in this building today. So adults, don't tune me out. No matter how old we are, or where we're at in life's journey, there's still the road ahead of us, the race for each of us. And to prepare our children for life, we must teach them that choices and consequences are everywhere. And you'll find out that when you enter the workforce or the college, that sometimes words aren't enough. It's the actions that you do that make a difference. Kind of like the missionary that was scheduled to speak at this mission, about his missionary work at this distant church. He got up before daybreak that Sunday morning and drove 300 miles to this church, and he preached two services, and then in the afternoon he spent time speaking with the members of the congregation that were interested in missions and telling about his journeys and so forth. And as he was leaving that evening, the treasurer of the church gave him an envelope, in which the missionary tucked in his pocket at that time for the ride home. And it was very late when he returned home. And as he was undressing, he suddenly remembered the envelope in his coat pocket, and he pulled it out and turned his light on in the bathroom and opened to see the amount of the check received. And, of course, out fell a check with his name written in it in bold letters. And under the name were the words, "A Million Thanks." And it was signed by the church treasurer. Well, Mark's not that way, of course, but the check was worthless, although the action that the treasurer did seemed good at the time. So sometimes words aren't enough. And Jesus told the scribes and Pharisees a parable about a man who had two sons to illustrate this. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21, the 21st chapter of Matthew. And hop down to verse 28. Matthew 21, verse 28. In Matthew chapter 21, starting with verse 28, it reads like this: "But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go to work today in the vineyard.' And he answered and said, 'I will, sir.' And he did not go. And he came to the second and said the same thing. But he answered and said, 'I will not.' Yet he afterward regretted it and went. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They, the scribes and Pharisees, said to him, "The latter." And Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you that the tax gatherers and the harlots will get into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you didn't believe him. But the tax gatherers and the harlots did believe him. And you, seeing this, did not even feel remorse afterward so as to believe him." I want to preach to you today from this text on this graduation Sunday about finishing well. This is the day, of course, our church takes time to celebrate the accomplishments of those who have stuck with it and finished well. And in looking at this story, I see two paths each one of us can take today. Two directions, not only just our graduates, but everyone in this room here today is on. And I want to talk to you today about how to end strong, how to end victorious, how to end with the way God intended us to end. To finish stronger than we started out in finishing well. How many of you want to finish stronger than you first started out? Raise your hand. Amen. Amen. That's good. That's good. You see, there's something that you got to get in your heart. You can do better than you're doing now. You can be more than what you are right now. And you can do more. You absolutely can finish and end stronger than you are walking on your journey right now. We get so complacent. We get so satisfied. We get so laid back in our walk with God. But God's will for us is not to start out with a lot of zeal and just kind of flutter out. God's will for us is to end greater. He said in the 8th chapter of the book of Job that your latter end would be greater than your former. And that's what I'm believing for. And so these two sons in the story represent the two directions that your life can take. Notice that the first son, or one of the sons, he did this. When the father said, go into my vineyard and work, he said, I'll go. He started out great. But the next part of the verse says, and went not. He said, I'll go, and went not. But then there's the second son, who when his father said, son, go work, he said, I will not go. But afterwards he repented and did the will of the father. Two pathways, two responses, two possibilities we can take. One son is the example of someone starting out well. The Bible says that he had the right intentions. When his father said, go into the vineyard, he said, I'll go. He started out with the right intention. He started out in the right direction. He started out so good. But then along the way, somewhere came distraction. Somewhere, something happened. And we're not told what happened here. But even though he started out so well, he said, I'll go. Along the way, he went not. Something happened. And he just didn't fulfill the will of the Father for his life. And so many of us start out living for God, and we mean so well. We first start out and we have good intentions, and we get going and we're living and we get on fire for God, but something happens to us along the way. You know, I've been in this ministry, seems like, all my life, and it's so easy to start out on fire, but then just naturally almost, You don't fight against it, and you fall into this spiritual lull. I mean, last weekend we were exhausted after Haley's wedding, after setting up and so forth, so we took the Sunday off to rest. And I didn't get up till noon. And I got to admit, it sure felt good to sleep in. And so we can get ourselves into those spiritual lulls if we're not careful. And many times, there are many reasons why we fall out of the way. We start out so good and end up bad. And I don't want to start out good and end up bad. I've watched too many people start out good and end up bad. Sometimes people end up bad because they get hurt. They get hurt in the church. They get hurt by a preacher. They get hurt by someone in the church. Somebody says something about them. They get hurt with sometimes called friendly fire. You know, I've been shot at all my life, a few times by the enemy. But most of the time, if you're going to get hit and fired at, it's going to be people in the body of Christ. People in the church, people who you work with, people who you attend school with. That's where the conflict, even in our own family, there can be friendly fire. And so sometimes people start out, and they're so excited to Jesus, but then they get hurt and they end up bad. Sometimes we don't wait on the Lord and we get ahead of Him and we end up shipwrecked. And then there's other times we face obstacles in our life that come up and the old world starts our pull on us. We've all seen it happen to people. They get saved and they get on fire for God and they start out so well, but then something comes and pulls the old world. Those old habits, those old feelings, those old desires, those sins, little by little, they begin to take over our life because we don't stay on fire for God. And then there's always the devil. He's trying to mess us up. We can't forget that we've got a real enemy. He studies us. He wants us not to finish the way God wants us to finish. We have an adversary who's always trying to trip us up. He's always trying to mess you up and I up. And then, of course, there's always the tribulations and troubles of life, the lions, the bears, and the giants that we're always constantly fighting in life along with that. It's warfare that's going on around us, and it's so easy, if we're not careful and cautious, to end up like one-third of the angels that kept their first estate. They started out worshiping God. These angels, they were in the heaven, they were in the very presence of God. But if they could be in the very presence of God and not keep their first estate, not continue to do good, who do we think we are that we cannot backslide? That we can't lose ground? That we can't start out good and end bad? These angels started out good, but they ended bad. We can fall away from our commitment. We can fall away from our desire. We can become like the five foolish virgins mentioned in Matthew chapter 25. They all 10 of the virgins, the Bible said, had oil in their lamps. But in the midnight hour, when they needed it the most, something happened to five of those virgins, and they ran out of oil in their lamps. And it's possible to start out full of the Holy Spirit, full of the presence of God, full of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, but then along the way you just get depleted spiritually. You just lose that zeal. You lose that anointing. You lose that fire. You just lose something that you had when you first got saved. And the bad thing is we're closer to the coming of the Lord than we've ever been before. You don't need to lose your oil in the midnight hour. This is no time to start out good and end bad. We need more of the oil than we've ever had in our lives. Can I get an amen out there? You're going to make me mess up my notes if you don't help me preach a little bit. I don't know about you, but today I just refuse to lose the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you now. I need you more than I ever needed you. Come, Holy Spirit. Five of the virgins were called foolish in that parable. And I wonder how many of you have started out full of the Holy Spirit, but now you've just ran out of oil. Paul warned about these falling away in 2 Timothy 4:10 when he spoke and he said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. He said there was this guy named Demas, and he started out so good. He was my apprentice. I was teaching him to become a great man of God. He started out so good, but something happened along the way. And he forsook me, having loved this present world. So many people began well, but they don't end well. And to me, one of the most haunting scriptures in the Bible is Galatians chapter 5, verse 7, where it says, you did run well, who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? You started out on fire. You started out with zeal. You started out with worship and thanks and humility and praise. What happened to you? You ran so well, but who hindered you along the way that made you lose what you started with? It's possible to have been at one time on fire for God and fall away from the warm glow of the Holy Spirit only to become shipwrecked and far away from God. I've come today to say it doesn't have to go that way. I want to end stronger than I ever started with the Lord. And I thank God for all that He's done in this church, and to the people that He's done in this church, the growth that I've seen, the miracles of healing that I've seen. And I give Him the glory for all the great victories we've won through Him. It's been an astonishing journey, but I don't want the past to be greater than our future. I really believe that God has things that our eyes have not seen, our ears have not heard, neither has it entered into our heart. Can anybody believe that God has something greater in your future than what is in your past? Amen. My Bible says that Jesus always saves the best for last. The best wine He keeps to the end. He doesn't start you out on the best and then just it's downhill from there. He's as low as you'll ever be on your worst day with Me, and I've got greater things that are yet to come in your life if you just believe in Me. If you just trust Me. If you just love Me and serve Me and do My will. You don't have to fall away. You can end stronger than you started. There was an old rock song written back in the 70s, around the time when I graduated high school. And you all won't know this because you're too holy for it, but it says, there must be 50 ways to leave your lover. The words go like this. Just slip out the back, Jack. Making no plans, Stan. No need to be coy, Roy. Just listen to Me. Hop on the bus, Gus. Don't need to discuss much. Just drop off the key, Lee, and get yourself free. 50 ways to leave your lover. Well, Kish and I have been married for 26 years, and I'm not ever going to leave her, and I hope she never plans on leaving me. But I'll tell you this. I've been in this ministry for 25 years long, enough to say I was there when Jack slipped out the back of the church. I was there when Gus got on the bus and he didn't discuss much. I was there, and all you Bible study teachers and pastors ought to say amen to this. I was there when Lee dropped off the key to the church. I've watched so many people come and go. They started out well but ended so bad. Countless ways to get tripped up, to get offended, to get hurt. Good people who mean well. Good people who do right. Who want to do right. But they get tripped up. They get trapped by the enemy and mess up. There's more than one way to lose your lover. There's more than one way to get lost. In the Bible, in the 15th chapter of Luke, if you'd like to turn there, He told about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. They were not all the same kind of lost, even though they were all lost. The Bible talks about the different ways in Luke chapter 15 and the parables that Jesus told that you can be lost. Sheep wander away. There was the lost sheep. The sheep didn't mean to get lost. It gets distracted. It just wanders away, step by step, little by little. It starts drifting away from the flock. Have you ever been lost? Weren't you glad when you finally found that road or that familiar landmark? Wasn't it a relief when you got back on track to where you were going when you were lost? The way you know when a sheep is lost is that it's not happy when it's lost. It'll cry and cry and cry, and it rejoices when it's found again. I don't believe everybody who's lost are just people out in the world. Some people are God's sheep, and they didn't mean to wander. It's like the enemy had a plan for them. I'm not taking out a human responsibility. But the truth is, if you're a sheep, you can't be happy being lost. If you're a sheep, something is missing until you get back into the flock and get the great shepherd over your life, Jesus Christ. I may wander off, but I can't be happy there. There's nothing in this world that can satisfy me compared to the intimacy that Jesus Christ has to offer. I may wander off, but I'm not going to be happy there. He cares, He protects. He feeds, He heals, He comforts. The sheep may have enjoyed nibbling on the grass that got them lost, but he's not happy where he's at now. The lost sheep is not enjoying his lost condition. And there may be somebody here today who deep inside you know you're far from God, but you don't like it. But that's good news. It's just proof that there's still some sheep inside of you. And if you just cry out to Jesus, and the Good Shepherd will come running to you and throw you over His shoulder and bring you back home rejoicing. I don't care what you've done. He loves you. Notice that we're commanded to leave the 99 and go find the lost sheep. But then there's the lost son. And he's a different kind of lost than the sheep. The lost sheep wandered away, the Bible says. But the lost son went away. And there's a big difference. It wasn't an accident for the son. It wasn't a mistake or a trap that he fell into. It was deliberate. I want my inheritance. I'm through. I'm taking my life out of God's hands. I want to do my own thing. I want to live the life the way I want to live it. But notice, the father never went to find the lost son. He waited for the son to find himself. You can't find a lost son or daughter until he or she finds themselves. The Bible said the prodigal son found himself, came unto himself. And when he came unto himself, he found his true identity. Then he came home. And that's when the father saw him and came running. I want to preach to somebody here today, you're welcome home. The father is waiting with open arms. And I don't care what you've done. If you've come to yourself and you realize that you're in the Father's house, there's much more than this world can ever offer in His arms and in His kingdom. The Father's saying to you, come back home. I love you. I'll restore you. I'll bless you. I'll keep you. I'll anoint you. I'll use you for the betterment of my kingdom. And then there's the lost coin. It's a different kind of lost from the other two that were lost. The lost coin didn't wander away or walk away. As a matter of fact, it didn't go anywhere. See, notice that the lost sheep was outside of the fold. And the lost son was outside of the house. But the lost coin is inside of the house. It's not necessarily the people who are lost. There are people sitting on the seats of church every Sunday who are lost. Who are lost and on their way to hell because they have not truly asked Jesus Christ into their life. And it's not that they're not valuable. I mean, it's not that the coin was not valuable. It was a piece of silver. And it's valuable, but it's lost. And it's not that you've lost your value to God if you're in the house. But some of you are not being used. The silver isn't any good unless it's being exchanged and used to buy things. And some of you who used to be active in various ministries of our church, some of you used to do more than just sit in the house and not use the value that God has attached to your life for His glory. And really, there's a lot of people in the house, but their value is lost because they do nothing for Jesus Christ. I'm not going to end my life being a lost sheep, a lost son, or a lost coin. I'm going to finish better than when I started. I want to finish well. Finishing well in Jesus' name. Your ladder can become greater than your beginning. Things happen. People start out well. That pastor. That church. That person. Bitterness gets in them. That hurt. And now they're not going to church. And now they're not serving God and they're not in the fellowship. And you may be here today for whatever reason listening to me. And the reason you're not in church is because you're mad. And you've talked about us. Well, let me clue you in on something. We've probably talked a lot about you too. We're not that holy. Oh, you got quiet, some of you did. You see, we're just like the world. You say something to me, and my first carnal reaction is to... See, every once in a while, here's what we got to do. We got to realize that we all started out to make heaven our home. And we got to all get this stuff under the blood, under the powerful blood of Jesus Christ. We all got to say, let's give each other a free pass. You said that about me. I said that about you. Let's just all get it under the blood. And let's just all join hands and let's just all make it to heaven. Because I got to make heaven my home. And I can't start out good and end up bad. You see, the other son I can relate to, and you can too. Also, because the one son starts out good and he ends up bad, but then the other son starts out bad, and when his father said, go to my vineyard, he said, I will not. But afterwards he repented. He started out. He didn't start out well. He refused the call of his father. This is a word for people who have refused the call of the Father, and you haven't started out well. This son, I don't know, but may have hung out with the wrong crowd. Those maybe mentioned something like in 1 Corinthians 6, idolaters, fornicators, thieves, drunkards, extortions. I don't care. There's a whole list of wrong people to hang out with. I don't know what happened, but he didn't start out well. He didn't get out of the gate of life on good footing. He stumbled out of the starting gate. And maybe you stumbled out. And you didn't start out well. Maybe you stumbled out when you were starting out of the starting gate. God's not asking a lot other than to love Him. Maybe you started out hanging out with the wrong people and doing the wrong things, and you wasted year after year on various things that this world has offered to you to entertain you. And the days of your life, followed by the years of your life, have been wasted in sin. And maybe instead of starting out like our graduates here today, maybe you may be 40 or 50 years old and you're just now coming to your senses. You're just now coming to yourself. And the good news in this story is even if you've started out bad, you can end good. You can end good. Because the one who started good and ended bad, but the one who started bad ended strong and in the perfect will of God. And that means you can too. You can too. Even if you've been through divorce, even if you've messed up, even if you brought shame, who in the human race hasn't messed up? I can't deal with people who act like they're a perfect, holy people. You're not. By the grace of God, you'd split hell wide open. What stone are you trying to throw at somebody? Let's put your junk up here on the screen. Let's tell your story. The gospel is for people who stumbled out of the gate of life and went with all the wrong people and did all the wrong stuff. We're all just trying to make it to heaven, aren't we? Come on, talk to me. We're all just trying to make it to heaven. Man, I have friends who've started out good, and it's not ending good, but it ain't over yet. Sometimes God allows things to come in your life and the cover to be lifted up so He can make a midway adjustment. He loves you so much that He says, I know you haven't started out real good, but let's just fix this character issue in your life. And I've just come here to say today to people who started out good, but you've lost it along the way. And if you keep going like you're going, you're going to end up bad. And I want to say to the people that started out bad, and the enemy has told you that you're a piece of trash, and there's no value in you. You're a loser, a failure, And nothing, because that's the voice of Satan. He loves to condemn us. He loves to accuse us. He loves to attack us. He loves to demean us, to humiliate us. But it doesn't matter how we start. It's all about how we finish. And as long as you're breathing, you still got a chance. You still got a chance. Can you just turn to somebody today and say, I'm going to give you a free pass today. Just turn to someone and say, I'm going to give you a free pass today because I need one so bad. I need one so bad. It doesn't matter if you've stumbled. You can do better. You could do better. That's my message today, is if you're comfortable, shake yourself. You could do better in finishing well. And if you stumbled, come back to the Father. Because you might have started out bad, but God wants you to finish well. Grace, grace. Wonderful grace. Well, I'll never do that. Who do you think you are telling me about those people taking advantage of God's grace and then doing what they're doing? Better watch out how you judge somebody. Your life ain't over yet, hotshot. You're going to need some grace one of these days. And I've just been in this skin long enough to know and to appreciate the human race as a bunch of flawed people. The best of them. But glory to God, this race ain't over yet. Glory to God. God's not looking for ones who look perfect on the outside. God's not asking for us for an unattainable perfection. He just wants us to simply obey His call. Just like the parable today. No matter where we've gone or what we've done. No matter the depth of rebellion that has marked our lives. There's always hope through forgiveness. And when we come to grip with ourselves to see the path that we're on, repentance may be the response that you need before God today. Having remorse of our path and of the path that we took and turned back towards God. Some of us say yes in church every week. We say yes in Bible study. We say yes in prayer meetings. We say yes in small groups. We become like the Pharisees, looking spotless and holy on the outside, but still inside we say, I will not, by a lack of actions in response to God's call for our lives. Jesus says in John 14:16, if you love me, you'll obey what I command. It's that simple. He wants our hearts and He wants our obedience. And obedience is so shown through just our actions and not only just our words. Hope, repentance, and obedience are the lessons of today's story. These are the truths that Jesus Christ wanted for His disciples then, and He wants for His followers today to understand. Which path are you on today? Do you offer words to God with no action? You can do better. You could do better. Finish well. You could do better. Do you have a stubborn streak in you? When Jesus knocks at your heart's door, you say, I will not. Open the door. Talk to Him. You could do better. Finish well. Let's stand as we pray and as the band plays. Father, we just thank You so much today for loving us. Father, we pray that You keep us on the path to finish well. Keep us strong. Keep that fire lit inside of us, Father. Help us to hear Your call and not to lose the distance to where we can't hear your call, Father. Put a reminder in us that you're there for us through thick and thin to help us and finish well. You're there to lift us up. You're there to pick us up, to brush us off, to heal our wounds, to renew our strength so that we can finish well in your name. Oh, Father, we need your anointing this morning. Please, Father, send your Holy Spirit to us in the strong, and just rain down upon us the Spirit that you've placed within our lives, Father. Let it be renewed. Let it fill our bodies and the souls that we can finish well, Father. Father, please bless the graduates this morning as they are starting out on a new path in their life.